Tom, this is Hughes this morning, man. We have Rick Piccolo from SRQ, the airport down the road.
Very nice. So, great airport, too, by the way.
I've been there.
Yes, sir.
But it's been a minute. Yeah.
It's been a minute?
Yeah. So, hey, congratulations. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey.
Good to be here.
So, from the airport, we're talking about that. I remember back in the late 1970s, I came down here to visit my grandparents, and I had a tough time finding the airport. At that time, it was called County Line Road, and I think it was like a Quonset hut on State Road 41. So you weren't there at that time, but
no.
Tell us a little bit about the history.
Well, that was the original airport. It actually started as an air training base during World War II, which a lot of airports in Florida started as airfields in World War II because they could train the pilots year-round. And then after the war ended, under the War Surplus Act, lots of airports got deeded to the local community. I think in the early years, the city of Bradenton and the city of Sarasota shared ownership and governance. And then eventually they created the Airport Authority. They were elected by the populace. And that continued on until 2001. When it changed, the authority changed to an appointed board by the governor after a referendum was held in both counties, and the county voters voted to change the board from elected to appointed in recognition the kind of unique nature. I like to tell people that what we are is kind of a quasi-governmental corporation. We're the closest thing to private industry you'll find in government. Totally self-supporting, we have no taxing power, and we are in competition with all the other airports around us. As I was saying to you earlier, there's enterprise funds in government like water that don't charge you an ad valorem tax and charge you a fee for the service, but they have no competition. In our case, you've got Tampa and St. Pete to the north, Fort Myers and Punta Gorda to the south, and even Orlando International to the east. And if you drive by our doorstep, we have no way of reaching into your pocket and saying, well, we're an important asset in this community, an important part of the infrastructure of this community, and you need to support us. So we have to compete for your business.
So it's not on my property tax bill?
Not at all.
No, you won't find it anywhere on any of your tax bills.
SRQ is the fastest growing airport in America. I read that. $3.2 billion in economic impact in this area. $3.2 billion. And no tax dollars from the citizens. It's pretty much self-sufficient. So you talked about that a little bit, but
yeah.
Again, it's you're not governed by anyone other than the authority itself.
Right. We have a 6-member board of directors. They're all appointed by the governor. 3 from Manatee County, 3 from Sarasota County. About a $55 million a year budget. We have our own police force, our own fire department, our own public works department, in the sense of everything out there, whether it's electrical, HVAC, plumbing, landscaping, everything's done by our own employees, about 220 employees. So we're kind of a mini city, and we're very proud of the fact that we give the community over $3 billion worth of value every year at zero cost to them as a taxpayer. And there's not another government agency, I think, that can say that. We do get grants for capital improvements from the state and federal government. They come out of trust funds that are funded from 2 distinct user fees. When you buy an airline ticket, there's a tax that's on that goes into the federal trust fund. And then there's aviation fuel taxes that go at both the state and federal level, and those go into trust fund as well. So we apply for grants for capital projects only. We have to match anywhere from 5% to 50% of the grant, depending on the project. So we have to generate enough money to make payroll, to maintain the airport, keep the lights on, pay the insurances, all that stuff, as well as our share of the capital improvements for the airport as well. So it's a big business enterprise. The board members that are appointed by the governor do understand the entrepreneurial nature of the airport, and we make our money through both charging rents for space to airlines and other tenants, as well as landing fees to the airlines. But we also, as I like to joke, we're kind of like the mob. We get a piece of the action of everything that happens. When you rent a car, we get 10% of the gross. When you buy a Coke, you buy a beer, you buy a T-shirt, you buy a magazine, we get a percentage of that. We have lots of tenants. We have hotels, Rips Golf, Sun State Trucking, Postens Antiques. They're all on our land. New College is on our land as well. At least half of it is. And so that's how we make our money, and we're constantly looking for ways to increase our revenue streams. We do a lot of development. We have some industrial land that we're developing. So our job is to be financially secure We have about $56 million in the bank. We have no debt. One of the few airports in this country that has no debt.
So the image of kind of like the mob. I don't know if that's going to go away from my brain, but
It's the idea that, you know, we're a giant landlord to a certain degree, and everything happens out there, we get a piece of.
That makes sense. Tell us about some of the improvements and some of the expansions that are going on recently.
We have about $200 million worth of work going on right now.
Right now.
And again, this is all paid for. We have enough grants and our own capital funds to pay for these improvements. So we'll remain debt-free, which is pretty unique. Give you an example, Tampa, which is a beautiful airport, but they have about $1.7 billion of debt on their books. So we're building a new 5-gate terminal at Terminal A at the end of ticketing. It'll be a ground-based terminal where you walk out onto a plane, similar to St. Pete or Punta Gorda. Mm-hmm. We have some ADA ramps that'll pull up to the aircraft. That's a $100 million project. That should be done by December of 24. We have a new baggage system going in. That's a $50 million project. That should be done just around the same time. We have a myriad of new parking lots being built because we have 2,100 parking spaces, and during the holidays, we park 4,500 cars a day.
I heard about the new cell phone lot.
The cell phone lot is due to open next week. It'll have 152 spaces, restrooms, vending machines, display boards to tell you when your flight's on the ground. Display boards are probably going to be delayed a little because of the supply chain issues, but the rest will be done. And so that'll open next week. And then we have a new ground transportation center that breaks ground next month for Uber, Lyft, shuttles, taxis. MCAT and SCAT will have an exchange place there. It'll have cover over all the walkways so that people don't get wet or in the sun. And it'll even have a little lounge for the drivers so they can get out of the heat. Have restroom facilities and vending facilities. So, like I said, about $200 million worth of work going on right now, and we're staying pretty busy.
So tell me how this works. I mean, you're international, domestic, private, commercial. I see private owners with their airplanes. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that's a rental situation.
We can
rent a hangar. But tell me about the airlines themselves, as far as them coming in and out of the airport. In other words, if we fly out of SRQ and Allegiant flies into Nashville BNA, mm-hmm. for example, how does that work? Who pays for what? What airline?
Well, airlines pay to airports landing fees and rental fees, depending on what space they rent. So they would pay at both ends of that, to the Nashville Airport Authority, whatever agreements they have with them. Mm-hmm. I'm proud to say that our costs for an airline are the lowest in the region. One of the ways that airlines judge their cost is per and plane passenger. And plane means per boarded passenger, not per deplaned passenger. Our cost per passenger for an airline right now is a little about $5.05 per passenger to the airline. Tampa's is around $10, and Fort Myers is around $9. So we are actually a less expensive airport for the airline to operate out of than those other two airports. So that's how they operate. And we have 11 carriers. We have 55 nonstop destinations. Pre-pandemic, we had 6 carriers and 12 nonstop destinations. We're up 300% versus our pre-pandemic numbers. 300%. By far the fastest growing airport, not just in the United States, but probably the world. We've gone from an average of 1.2 to 1.3 million passengers total per year. Last year we had just under 4 million. This year we'll be somewhere in the 4.3 to 4.5 million. And once we complete the new terminal, Allegiant has already signed a memorandum of agreement to take all 5 gates. They'll give up the 3 gates they have in the existing terminal area. Other airlines will scarf those up very quickly. And so when you look at just Allegiant, they're going to have a 40% increase in their gate capacity, which means they'll have a serious increase in their amount of service here as well. So we expect after December 24, and when we open the new terminal, that sometime in 2025 through 2026, you're going to see another big surge because there'll be a lot more capacity at the airport.
Who's your biggest carrier, passenger-wise?
Our biggest carrier today is Southwest Airlines.
All right.
They came in 2021, started with 8 cities, quickly went to 19. They did a little over 1 million passengers in 2022. Our second largest carrier is Delta at just around, they were in between 850 and 900,000. Allegiant is just below them by about 10,000 passengers.
Okay.
But I think this year, It looks like Allegiant may pass them and become our second largest carrier. And then after that, American, United, JetBlue, and then some of our smaller carriers follow after that.
Here's one I put a lot of thought into. What does the Q stand for in SRQ?
There's highways in the sky, and in the old days, they were radio signals that the aircraft would hone in on, and it was SRS for Sarasota.
Makes sense to me.
All right? And then what ended up happening is it's so close to SOS that it caused too many confusions of emergencies, so they cut off the S at the end, and Q is simply a filler. Very similar to like LAX, X is a filler for LA, for Los Angeles, and not every airport follows where their community is. You've got DFW for Dallas-Fort Worth, but for example, Orlando is MCO. Now, why is it MCO? Because it was McCoy Air Force Base back in World War II. So it's a little different depending on the location and what your three-letter identifier is, but that's kind of the history of what happened here. And I do find that I've been at lots of airports, and it is kind of unique to watch the community because there are many, many, many businesses that use SRQ in the name of their business. And you have SRQ Radio, SRQ Magazine, SRQ Landscaping.
So my suggestion of making it SMQ, Sarasota Manatee, is probably too late, right?
It's probably too late, yeah. And that's a federal decision of how they made those three-letter designations.
We always forget the Manatee, Tom.
Well, but it is technically in Manatee, right?
Actually, more landmass is in Manatee. It's funny, we sit in three political jurisdictions. When you first pull into the airport and into the parking lot, it's in the city of Sarasota.
Right.
When you cross into the short-term lot, when you get about halfway through the short-term lot, you're now in Sarasota County. And when you enter the terminal, you're in Sarasota County. As you go down that concourse, you get past about Gate 5, you're now crossing into Manatee County. And the same at the runway as you cross part of it from Sarasota County into Manatee County. So most of the airport from that gate area north is in Manatee County. So the bulk of our property is in Manatee County, but we sit in three political jurisdictions, which makes for some
MRQ.
Unique permitting issues. When trying
I can imagine that.
Speaking about that, tell us about safety and security. You know, you're regulated by the TSA, FAA, and probably many other acronyms.
We're one of the most regulated businesses there is, and we have lots of agencies to answer to. From a safety and security standpoint, I know this sounds like any place would say that, and it probably is true, but that's our highest priority, safety and security of our passengers. As I said, we have our own police force, our own fire department. They're fully certified. They meet the same requirements as every other certified police department in this state. We have very, very talented police officers. A lot of them come to the airport from other departments after they served like 20 years in another department because we're not a hotbed of crime, but we have veteran police officers who know how to handle situations when they come up, and at the same time understand that the primary job is to get people in and out safely. There's about 55 people in our police department, about 20 of them sworn officers, the rest in the traffic control, although a lot of them are former police officers. From the fire department, we have our own 24/7 fire department. We have plenty of vehicles that are over $1 million a piece because they're specialized vehicles. They're all EMTs, and we have just made the move to turn them all into paramedics as well. So that'll take a couple years because it takes time to go through the training. You can only do a couple at a time, but we want to get our whole department into being paramedics as well and then get into doing advanced life support ambulance and all that on our own. Simply because right now our people are EMTs at a certain level. If they evaluate a passenger that's ill and say that this person needs advanced life support, right now depending on where it is, whether it's Sarasota County or Manatee County, they get their backup from them. They come in with their paramedics, and as the community, as you've seen, is growing like crazy, it's taking longer and longer to get that backup because it might be that they got. We had a call a couple weeks ago, where in Sarasota County, where they had to come from Siesta Key, because all the other units were tied up.
We talked about the shortage.
So we want to have a level of customer service that is top notch. So we decided we're going to go to our own paramedics, our own ALS, and that way we give that level of service from the minute our people respond.
So it sounds to me like you're hiring, you're looking for talent.
Yeah, we continue to work on that. And one of the things we've been successful with is educating the talent we have. And we've done that in a number of positions, like our EMTs, they all want to become paramedics, and we'll pay them not just to go to school, we'll pay them while they're at school, and then we're going to pay them a premium in salary, obviously, when they become paramedics. Even in our trades, we have found that a lot of times we take a person who's a maintenance technician, as we call them, that doesn't have any high skill levels, we'll send them to HVAC school, we'll send them to plumbing school, we'll send them to school, and then they can get elevated to a higher position and they have a career track. And then we also have, from a security standpoint, the TSA rules. We have a private contractor that does the security checkpoint stuff. It's been very successful. I'm very proud to say over the Thanksgiving holiday, our longest wait was 11 minutes.
And they're nice.
They're nice, they're great, and they're overseen, though. They have to meet the same qualifications and rules as TSA. And then we interact, our police interact with all the other agencies in the community, and from everything from terrorism issues to drug issues, and make sure that they're up to speed on stuff. They train. We have the SWAT teams come out and train with our guys so that they know what the airport layout is. We have what's called a tactical officer on duty during heavy periods, where we have an officer with a long gun walking through the terminal. And we did that about 6 or 7 years ago after talking with the board, because the phenomenon of active shooter was becoming more and more prevalent. And the science showed that the sooner you interdict that person with the same level of firepower, the sooner you bring this to a close. So we always try to have a tactical officer around that has a long gun, and then we have long guns in lockers that are strategically placed throughout the terminal.
See?
So that the other officers can respond immediately with the same level of firepower. We also have microphones in the ceiling that detect gunshots, gun fire, so that we can immediately, we have 216 cameras on the airport, 16 digital recorders going 24/7. We have a communication center that's 24/7. The nice thing for our officers, if there's an incident, we can bring the communication center, can bring the cameras into focus on that area and give officers real-time information of what's happening as they approach the scene and descriptions and that type of thing. So we're as I said, safety and security, I'm not just saying it's our priority. We put our money where our mouth is.
Sure. You know, a long time ago when my kids were small, my wife and I used to go out there on Saturday night behind the airport, watch the planes come in and go out. Okay, can we still do that?
Yeah, off Old 15th Street.
Yeah.
There's cars that always line up there. We're actually in a project design right now with Manatee County. We're going to build paved parking there, a seating area so you can sit and get out of the sun a little bit. It'll have a playground. Allegiance agreed to sponsor the playground. It'll have pictures from the old days. It'll have a speaker system so you can listen to the tower transmissions and sit out there and watch the planes take off.
That's what we're doing Saturday night. We live fast.
Yeah.
Man. Hey, one final thing. Here in North River, where we are, we're within 30, 40 minutes of three major international airports.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's your competitors.
Yes.
Why should we choose SRQ?
Well, I think, first of all, you choose SRQ because we're a great airport. It's more convenient, I think, than the others. You don't know when you're driving up to there whether you're going to hit some traffic or an accident or something like that. And the other thing is the community asset. The economic impact that we have is only if you use us, because we can't tax you and say, well, we're a good thing for the community. So the economic impact that has jobs, we create 23,000 jobs a year from our activity.
So
your uncle, your aunt, your cousin, your nephew, your niece, your son, your daughter might be working based on the activity we have. So it's good for you. And I do recognize, though, at times there are going to be times when either the price or the schedule doesn't fit. And then you can't fight that. The only thing I want people to understand is we don't determine the flights. We don't determine the times. That's up to the airlines. Are totally deregulated. It's not because we're, as rumor would have it, we're more expensive to operate for the airlines. We're actually cheaper by almost 50%.
Right.
At the end of the day, it's market forces that dictate it. Tampa's a much bigger market. And, you know, right now, if you want a nonstop to LA, we don't offer that. Now, we think in the next year or two, we'll have something like that to the West Coast. But I understand that sometimes people have to make different choices. And all we ask people in the community to do is look at us first. And when we fit your need, utilize us. And when we don't fit your need, don't give up on us. Look at us first every time.
I always do, because I love Tampa International Airport, but I hate to drive over there. No, it's a much easier drive to run over to Sarasota.
And I think it's a little more convenient in the sense that the lines are shorter and that type of thing. I worked at Tampa Airport for 3 years, wonderful airport. It's a beautiful, big airport. But at the end of the day, I think we're a nicer, more convenient facility.
I love it. Rick, thanks for being here this morning.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for the invite.
Yeah, this was great. Tom, what do you got?
Well, the only thing missing from this whole podcast is for you to hit that like button down there. If you like what Rick has told us today, you like SRQ, like the button.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks for watching. See you next time.